Was anybody at the Kmart in Mountville yesterday? Kmart in Mountville? Okay, good. I'm not talking about you then. All right. So I had to go to Kmart yesterday, and I just had an errand run, something to pick up. I get excited because I love to go in the Kmart and find a bunch of stuff I don't really need but have to buy anyway. And I'm walking in to the Kmart, minding my own business because that's the kind of guy I am. And there was a lady walking out, young lady, and apparently she knew the guy in the pickup truck that was driving by. So right in front of the front door, he stops and they start talking. And he didn't like pull over to the side, he's just in the middle, right at the front door where people are crossing and cars are going by, and they start talking. I thought, wow, that's a little discourteous, you ought to at least move over some. So I go on with my task. I go into Kmart. I'm in there about 10 or 15 minutes. I get the things I want. I go through the toy aisle because you just don't know. Something cool might be there. And I come out 15 minutes later, and they're still there. And there's a line of cars behind him trying to see whether they should go around or not. And he's still right in the middle. And it's a dangerous situation because people are trying to cross. And like I said, the car's behind him. It's a pickup truck, so they can't see if there's cars coming the other way. And it was the most discourteous thing I think I've seen in quite a while. And I'm from Philadelphia. I've seen a lot of discourteous things. And it really bothered me. So I got to my car, and I got in my car, and I started it up. Yeah, and I don't know why, but it really was on my mind. And I just thought, what should I do? And a lot of things went through my mind of things I could do. You know, pulling up behind and laying on the horn, or going partway past and laying on the horn where she's standing there next to the pickup. And I didn't. I know you're getting all pumped up here waiting to get some dirt on me, but... Also, he happened to leave at that point, so I couldn't do some of the things I wanted to do. But it just, you know, there are some things that just roll off your back, and then there's other things that just grate you. And people being discourteous, that bothers me. Like when people leave the shopping cart in the middle of the parking lot, when there's a place to put it, right? Like, why can't you just take your shopping cart back? What's the big deal? And these little things get on my nerves. I don't know if they do for you, but they do for me. What's that? Is that why you don't go shopping? So, Emily, is that your job? Don't get me started on shopping. I know. Well, how do you get stuff if you don't go shopping? Online, Amazon. Yes, we all love Amazon. It's great. Yes. No, don't start me on shopping. I'm not going to go there. We've had that conversation already. The shopping cart that has the one wheel that goes down the... Go to the moon, but we can't make a shopping cart with four wheels that work. I'm sorry, that's an issue with me. I'm going to skip ahead just for a second. One of the verses I have to read today really stood out to me yesterday. It says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. So I'm thankful yesterday I was able to practice a little bit of my religion and hold my tongue. It really wasn't my business to go up there and do the things I was thinking of doing, but I just moved on. All right. But what we're talking about today is this idea of religion. There's a saying going around, it's been going around for a number of years, that I like and I don't like at the same time. And it's when somebody says, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, right? Now, if you've said that and you think I'm picking on you, I'm not, because I've said it many times too. The problem is, I don't believe it's a truly accurate statement. I get the sentiment behind it. The problem is, I've heard a lot of people say it with attitude. Well, we're not a religion, we're a relationship. All right, let's talk about this a little bit. What is a religion? According to the dictionary, a religion is the service and worship of God or the supernatural. It's also a commitment or devotion to religious faith and observance. A personal set or institutionalized system of religious beliefs, attitudes, and practices. So from a dictionary standpoint, we are a religion because we believe in God and we systematically worship Him. We come together for a corporate worship service, which I love, by the way. I love to be able to hear the voices. Today, I ended up sitting all the way in the back, and it was interesting that a lot of the sound was absorbed by all your bodies, and I could barely hear the instruments, but I could hear the voices singing, and it was wonderful. And that's the beautiful part of religion, is when we come together to worship God. Now, a lot has been said about religion itself, because there can be bad religion also. Paul Washer said this: a lot of people think that Christianity is doing all the righteous things you hate and avoiding all the wicked things you love so that you might be able to go to heaven. No, that's a lost man's version of religion. A Christian is a person whose heart has been changed. They have new affections. A.W. Tozer said, most men indeed play at religion as they play at games, religion itself being, of all games, the one most universally played. In other words, people do all kinds of things in the name of religion. The one I love the most is this one, and I couldn't find an author to attribute it to. It said, religion is a guy in church thinking about fishing. A relationship is a guy out fishing thinking about God. You get that? All right? Religion is a guy in church thinking about fishing, and a relationship is a guy out fishing thinking about God. In other words, what it's saying is you can be in church practicing ritual and not really be connected with God, whereas you can be out fishing or anywhere, and if you have a right relationship, that is true religion. So religion basically is a set of beliefs. And why is it that we keep hearing this statement, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship? I think it grew out of the idea that a person can practice religion but not truly be saved. Anybody can go to church, anybody can sing songs or learn verses, but if you're not connecting with your Creator, that's really just an empty religion. It's not the relationship you should be looking for. Believers seem to want to make a point that you have to know God and be in relationship with Him to be right with Him. It's not about doing a bunch of rituals, and I'll agree to that. But I think even more Christians have wanted to distance themselves from many of the empty practices they've seen and many of the churches they feel are empty inside. I can understand the intent. We can be truly enmeshed in an empty religion and not being getting anywhere spiritually. And that's not what we want. True religion is being in touch with our God. But I don't think we can get the religion out of the relationship. To me, the two go hand in hand. I think you need to have the relationship with God, but I think that relationship plays it out in the religion that you practice. It's almost like saying, well, a cake is made from eggs, not from flour. Well, no, it has both parts in it. And I believe what we have has both parts as well. We have a relationship, but we practice a religion as well. Listen to how James said it. James was very much into the practical. This was the brother of Jesus. He did not believe Jesus was this Messiah growing up, but after Jesus died on the cross, James realized who Jesus really was. And he wrote this book to fellow believers. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Walk into Kmart and mind your own business. It's the Robert version. Do not merely listen to the word, God's word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. In other words, you look in that mirror, you're not just looking at the face, you're looking into the soul. Who am I really? Because the person that looks at themselves in the mirror that way and looks into their soul, when they go away from the mirror, they're going to remember who they are and what they are to be. That's what he's getting at here. when you look at the word, don't just go, okay, I read Lamentations. What does it really say to me, and how am I going to respond to it? He continues, those who consider themselves religious, and you do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, Robert, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So I don't think we can get rid of religion because James talks about having religion. Yet his religion is very practical. He's like, you want real religion? It's not just those things you're repeating in church. It's going out and helping somebody and helping them to have a better life. That's true religion. It stems from a relationship with God. And when we have that relationship and we know who God is and we know who we are, then we practice our religion by helping those around us and living for God. That's what religion is all about. See, remember in Hosea, God warned people. He said, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. He was telling the Israelites at the time, their religious practices were wonderful. They were in this heyday of religion where they had these immaculate services, these wonderful practices. You would go to their services and it was like, wow. But in the midst of that, God says, hey, it's not really about that. It's about how you're treating one another, how you're showing love to one another. So I want you to have a relationship with me, but I want you to live it out through your religion. So I get it. I get the saying, because many of us have been in situations where we've been stuck in an empty religion, where we just repeat what we're supposed to repeat. We stand when we're supposed to stand. We sit down when we're supposed to sit down, but we're not really getting anything out of it. And then the person we are the rest of the week is totally different than that church face that we put on Sunday mornings. So in that perspective, I really appreciate that statement. Hey, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Yes, but there is a religion that we perform. John said it this way. He walked in step with what James said. He says this, dear friends, since God loved us that much, in other words, sending Jesus to die for us, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God and have God living in them, and they living in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. You see, God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we'll not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we're not afraid, if we are afraid, it's for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Now there, my friends, is a great religion. Now having said that, I want to clarify this a little bit further. Sometimes I think people say that Christianity is a relationship because they're trying to distance themselves from those religious practices we talked about, the ritualistic practices. And I do understand that. There are times in our lives where we've probably practiced an empty religion, where we just went through the motions. But I want to be careful about saying those things because I've been with a number of believers recently who have said it so harshly. Well, it's a relationship, not a religion. That I get the feeling that they're pointing at other churches and other believers and putting them down for the way they practice what they practice. I understand that not every church is getting everything right. New Danville Church is not getting everything right yet. We have not arrived. We're still working on who we are, individually and corporately, as a church. But I think it's important for us, when we turn people to God, we do so with the positives and not with the negatives. We don't have to put down other churches in order to point people to God. And yet I've seen this start to happen. Well, you know, that church over there, they do this. Well, I went to this church and it gave me nothing. Let's be very careful about pointing at other believers. Because I'll tell you, a lot of people come to God in a lot of different ways. And I know some churches that don't have very much liturgy at all. A liturgical service is one that has a lot of religious practices where there might be repeating of scripture, responsive readings. It's somewhat regimented. And for some of us, we go into that and are like, wow, I just sort of glazed over. I get that. All right, I'm kind of like that. You know I have the attention span of a small rodent. And if you're not keeping me engaged, I'm somewhere else. I understand. But that's not everybody. For some, liturgical worship brings deep spiritual meaning. The repeating of those words, the leading of a pastor in a scripture, allows them to be drawn into the presence of God and His Word through that repetition. And it's deep for them. And you know what? That's okay too. We operate different ways. So what is good religious practice for one might not be for another, but that doesn't necessarily make it bad. So be careful. We practice our religion at New Danville the way that we do. We found what works for us, and we're always looking to change things and move things around if it helps us connect with God better. But this is what we found to be good ritualistic practice for us. For others, it can be different. And just because it's different doesn't mean it's not working. What truly shows whether your religion is working or not is what James said, are you loving those around you? Are you making a difference in the world? Because I think you can have a relationship that's an empty relationship. Because if you're going to church and you're connecting with God, oh, God, I love you. Man, we're on the same page. Spirit, talk to me. But then you go out into the world and you do nothing to help anybody else. I would say that your relationship to God is really empty and it's superficial. Because anybody that has a real relationship with God and understands Him is moved to compassion for those around them. And that's what John was saying. If you say you love God, it's got to come out in your love for those around you. Didn't Jesus say that, talking about heaven? He said, hey, some of you are going to get to heaven, and I'm going to say, you loved me because you gave me some water, you fed me, and you're like, we didn't give you water or feed you, Jesus. We didn't even see you physically. And He says, yeah, but when you did it for somebody else, you were doing it for me. That's the connection. That's good religion working. That's when we know that we have a good relationship because we have a good religion also. They go hand in hand. And I get it. We've all got to find that connection. You know, Leonard Ravenhill said this about the church. He said, there's no place on God's earth more exciting than the church of the living God when God is brooding there. And there's no place on God's earth more boring when He isn't. Right? Because when it is empty ritualistic practice, what is it? So I submit to you today, make sure you have a relationship with Jesus, but make sure it's manifesting itself in a good religion. We need both. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, wow, Robert never wants me to say that saying again, that's not true. I love that saying. I have said it, and I will continue to tell people that I meet. It's not just about a religion, it's a relationship. But I do think it is both. I think we relate with our God, and we show that relationship by how we treat those around us on a daily basis. John 13, Jesus said this about His disciples, about you. He said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. So the proof of your relationship to Jesus will come through the religion you practice with each other, by loving each other. Let's make sure that we're doing that. That's someone who's in a good relationship, somebody who's practicing a good religion. And speaking of loving one another, we're going to discuss that further next week. We're going to talk about the idea, is church a safe place to be? Am I accepted there? We'll save that for later. Father, we're grateful that we could be here today. We're thankful that we can be in relationship with you. That's hard to understand, Lord. You created the entire universe, which continues to expand, and yet you're in every part of it. You're beyond it. And yet you have a relationship with each of us individually. Lord, may we never turn this into empty ritual each Sunday. May we come here ready to make a connection with a living God who wants to know us. Every Sunday we come here, and every day we wake up. And in the midst of that, Lord, may we practice a religion that people are drawn to, where they feel love, where they feel cared for, where they feel that they can be a part, whether that's in a service, whether that's at a car show, or a random meeting at a Kmart. May people feel the love of God through the religion that we practice. Lord, would you bless us in that we might be better vessels to carry your word. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.